Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hour number two, late night, right here on Sports Radio WEEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. The number to join us here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And look, you know, this PC society that we live in is getting out of control. It's getting out of hand. And, you know, I am all for representing things correctly. I am all for athletes having some sort of an obligation as people that are worth looking up to. I go back to what Charles Barkley said back in the early 90s when he said, I am not a role model. Well, that's BS. You know, Charles Barkley, he knew that he was a role model. Michael Jordan at the time knew he was a role model. These guys made mistakes. And now in today's day and age with Twitter and social media and Facebook and everything else, everybody's got a camera. Everybody's an amateur photographer. Everybody's out there. You can't get away with anything. It is what it is, right? But the fact is, I know this better than most anybody, and people that have got young kids that are growing up in today's day and age, they get this better than anybody. Nothing gets by them. All right, my 8-year-old son knows more stuff than he should ever know at 8 years old because of his access to the internet. And while mom and dad, while we sort of control it, while we regulate it as best we can't be with them 24 hours a day. And forget about it, when it comes to my nearly 12-year-old daughter, the stuff that she knows, the stuff that she sees, it's downright scary. And again, we regulate it. The internet in our house is heavily regulated, and we've got the ability on our phones to shut it down at any given moment. All that being said, they get it, and a lot of stuff gets sort of filtered their way. It absolutely does, and no matter how hard we try, there's no getting away from it. So this whole Robert Kraft thing, guess what? You know, it's trickled down into my house, and I'm sure it's trickled down into your houses. And you know, the Patriots, they're known for what? They're known for winning. They're known for Tom Brady, especially when you're talking about kids, right? So my kids, they love the Patriots because at school, it's fun. You know, they go to a private Catholic school, but during Patriots playoff time, they get to wear their Patriots shirts. They get to have a Patriots party. You know, that's what it is. It's a social event. They love the fact that their team consistently wins. The fact that my, my daughter's, what, going to be 12 this summer, and she's seen how many Super Bowls? It's amazing. But they also know the negative stuff. So when something comes out, like Julian Edelman being called a cheater, guess what? They both asked about it because they both read it online. They both heard about it online. When it comes to the Robert Kraft situation, that one's a little bit more delicate to deal with. But they read about it. They heard about it online. And here they are asking me, a guy that's on WEEI each and every night talking about this sort of stuff, they're asking me what the owner of the Patriots did incorrectly, what he did wrong. And this is really a touchy subject because we don't know exactly what Kraft did wrong. We know that he did something wrong. We know that, you know, he most likely solicited a prostitute. And that's a difficult one to explain, especially to a tween daughter, right? So we were delicate in the way that we explained that at home. But he absolutely broke the law. There's no getting around that. Whether he's tied to human trafficking or not, I'd like to think that he's not. I don't think that he is. But I'm not sure, and I'm no legal expert. I am no legal expert at all, but the one thing that I have learned about this whole process is that the best thing that Robert Kraft can do, in my opinion, is to get this thing out of the news cycle as quickly as possible. And it seems to me that he's doing the exact opposite of that. It seems to me that Robert Kraft, what he's doing is he's doubling down on his defense. It seems to me what he's doing is he is going to keep this thing alive in the news cycle for as long as possible.
No publicity is never.
Well, the problem that we have here is that every time he makes a move with his defense team, every time that he does anything right now, it becomes another news story. You know, it trends on Twitter. It trickles down into my kid's phone.
Yeah, you got to keep the Patriots in the news somehow.
I guess you do.
I mean, Rob Gronkowski's been quiet for a little bit, so.
So RKK is taking one for the team right now, right?
Oh,
he's
yeah.
Keeping the Patriots in the news. I don't get it. If it were me, and again, who am I? You know, I'm just a guy that works part-time on the radio. But if it were me, I think what I would do is try to work out some sort of a plea here. If it were me, I think what I would do is do everything in my power to keep this thing out of the everyday news cycle. But that's not been the case. Each and every day, there's been an update here. Each and every day, it seems like Robert Kraft is doing something to draw attention to himself. Whether it was, you know, last weekend showing up to the black tie parties out there in California, in Los Angeles, continuing to live life as normal. You know, and now you've got multiple things happening. So right now you've got Robert Kraft today doubling down on his defense team. You know, hiring another, a second high-priced, really a guy with high visibility type of lawyer. All right? So now you've got two high visibility type lawyers on your team. And every time you hire another one, guess what? It leads the news. And the question really is that the best thing for Robert Kraft right now? Is he looking to essentially try to get a not guilty out of this? Because if he gets a not guilty, but it takes him 2 years of fighting it in court, does the not guilty even matter at that point? And the reason why I ask that question is the same thing we go back to in so many of these conversations that we have here, right? It's all about the power of perception. And the perception's going to be what? No matter what happens, whenever this thing goes to trial, whenever Robert Kraft gets his day in court or his days in court, because let's face it, this is not going to be a short ordeal. For the gentlemen that are sort of tied up in this thing, for the ones that can afford the kind of defense, and Robert Kraft might be the only one that can afford this type of defense, but for the guys that can afford this type of defense, this is not going to be a short, cut and dry, quick trial situation. Now, this thing is going to be drawn out. For anybody that's ever dealt with the courts, at least in Massachusetts or New Hampshire, a regular court case is like a minimum of two or three appearances anyways. And every time that this guy has an appearance, guess what's going to happen? He's going to be plastered on all the newspapers. He's going to lead Fox News, CNN, and MSNBC. It's going to be trending on Twitter, be all over Facebook. And to me, that's the exact opposite of what this guy wants to do. It's the exact opposite of what he should be doing. Because if this thing stays in the news cycle, the longer it stays there, doesn't it just get hammered home to everybody that's not a Patriots fan that he's guilty of this? And the longer it stays in the news cycle, doesn't it ultimately make it worse for Robert Kraft and in turn make it worse for the Patriots? Because what's going to happen here is eventually perception will become reality. And by the time we get to a conclusion, by the time we get to a verdict, the verdict or the conclusion is going to be 1,000% irrelevant because he is already going to be found guilty in the court of public opinion. So, you know, if you guys are Robert Kraft, what is the right move here? Or is there a right move? That's really the question. Is there a right move? Is there something that he should be doing differently? Because if it were me, everything that he's doing is wrong. Whether it's the lawyers, you know, I don't think that there's any way. If there really is a video here, if there really ultimately is a video, there is no way that the lawyers are going to be able to keep it out. And if that's his motivation, then he's incorrect. He's being naive. Ultimately, if there's a video, we know one thing. The one thing that's more powerful in this world than perception is greed. And ultimately here, somebody's going to get a copy of it. Somebody's going to want to sell it. Somebody's going to want to do something with that video, all right, to get it out into the public eye. I can't recall a time where a video didn't eventually trickle out. And really what happened here is we got what? We've got during the initial days of this, the moment we learned about Robert Kraft, moments later, we learned that there was a video. When you learn that there's a video, there's going to be a hunger and a thirst for that video that is never going to go away. So whether Robert Kraft hires the world's greatest attorneys and he keeps this thing going and going and going in an effort to get a not guilty here, it's not like Myra's still alive. It's not like he's got to get a not guilty to go home and face his wife. It's not like he's got to get a not guilty to face the New England fans. Let's face it here. The New England fans have already moved on. The New England fans have already forgiven this guy for the most part. This guy is going to get a standing ovation, whether he gets a 4-game suspension, an 8-game suspension, a year-long suspension, no matter what the NFL decides to do to punish this guy. The first time he shows his face next year, or even the year after, at Gillette, if it's still named Gillette, because you've got people out there that are sensitive to that as well. But the first time he shows his face, the first time he's back in his luxury box, you know, next to his kid, and Bon Jovi's behind him, the next time that happens, he is going to get a thunderous, a monstrous standing ovation because he's Robert Kraft, and he's beloved here. You know, he's somebody that's always going to be a heroic figure to people in our region. But across our fine country, my man is already, he's already been found guilty in the court of public opinion.
We believe in the best in men.
And that's a whole other topic. I'm glad we have 4 hours today because that is unbelievable. I want to know the date that they released that commercial. It's very recent, whether it's, you know, a month, 2 months, 3 months ago, whenever Gillette released that commercial about believing in the best in men and Robert Kraft, a guy who owns a stadium called Gillette Stadium. It's not a good look for anybody, but it's especially not a good look for those people trying to take the name down. That's not going to happen. There's too much money involved there. Did you find the date, Joe? Do you know how old
it is?
Looks
like January 13th.
So we're talking about 2 months, less than 2 months. So less than 2 months ago, Procter & Gamble, Gillette, they come out with that message. And now the guy that essentially has the biggest Gillette billboard on the planet being Gillette Stadium, that's not a good look at all for anybody involved there. But really, when it comes to his decision here, and I am so against it. When I read about this today, when I heard about his decision to hire a second high-priced attorney, I wanted to just reach into my TV, reach into my computer screen, and shake him and say, what the hell are you doing? Why are you doing this? Why are you continuing to fight this thing? Whatever the plea deal is, you're a first-time offender. Go in, pay your fine, set up some sort of a charity, some sort of a fund, something for these women to have money to dip into for their own legal representation, for their own education purposes, maybe finding a way to keep them in the United States legally so they don't have to be beholden to these people that may have trafficked them in here. Whatever. He's a billionaire six times over. All right, so donate $10 million, start a fund, do something. That'll help you start to change, you know, perception in the court of public opinion. Because that's the only court that matters here. The court, the legal system, they're not going to put this guy in jail. It's not going to happen for a misdemeanor first-time offense. The court of public opinion is the only court that matters, and it seems to me he's got this thing backwards. And it seems to me he's putting more importance in the legal system over the court of public opinion. And I know that he's got high-priced handlers, I know that he's got high-priced PR people, and I know that he's got people that essentially are telling him what to do and what moves to make here. But every time he makes a move, I swear, it is the wrong move. And it's just a bad look for Robert Kraft, you know, all around. If I were him, I would be in Florida right now with my attorneys, working with the district attorney's office, trying to find a way to put this thing to bed, trying to find a way to take a plea. And, you know, there are plenty of pleas out there. I believe one's called a quaff. It's continuation without a finding, which is most likely what would happen here. Continuation without a finding essentially says, RKK, you stay out of trouble for the next year, and it gets dismissed. It goes away. He pays a heavy fine. He takes some classes. He starts a fund. And this thing starts to go away in the court of public opinion. And the NFL will deal with him as they see fit. But if he thinks that fighting this thing legally with all these high-priced lawyers, if he thinks that is going to stop the NFL from, you know, delivering some sort of a major suspension here or some sort of a major penalty to the Patriots and Robert Kraft, he is sadly mistaken. I mean, precedent has been set many times over now that what happens legally has almost zero effect on what the NFL does, on what Roger Goodell does. So I don't understand his mentality whatsoever and his decision-making process here whatsoever. It is Sports Radio, WEEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's grab another call before we go to the break here. Let's go to Steve. Steve's in Connecticut. Steve, you're next up here on WEEI. Hey, Steve.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to get your take on not so much Mr. Kraft, but the Red Sox. So the Royals, they have their catcher. He got hurt, and we have a surplus of catchers. And then the Mets, they've actually compiled the most addition to their payroll of any team in the MLB. So we just won the World Series. We're in a position where we could maybe make a trade. You see maybe making a trade with the Twins or the Mets. Just want to get your take on that. Thank you.
So I appreciate the phone call, Steve. And right now I feel like the Red Sox – you know, they've got a pretty good thing going. I don't think they're going to really, going into the season, they're going to mix it up at all. They've already got to deal with one situation, trying to figure out who's going to close games. That's going to be a gaping hole that they've got to find a way to deal with. When it comes to the catchers, I mean, they got what, Blake Swihart, Sandy Leon, and Christian Vasquez, right? So they're in a pretty good spot there. And I feel like each one of those guys has carved out their own unique niche. And each one of those guys is needed for their own purposes. They all bring a unique skill to the table here. So I don't think the Red Sox are going to be in the market of going out there to help another team because one of their catchers went down, unless they're willing to flip some sort of a dependable closer, for a catcher. That's the gaping hole in the Boston Red Sox. And last time I checked, I don't think Sandy Leon is going to net you any kind of dependable closer. He's a nice player, but I don't think he's going to net you the dependable closer that the Red Sox are missing. That is their one missing link. That is their one missing piece. So trading Sandy Leon, Vasquez, Blake Swihart, I don't think either one of those guys or any one of those guys is ultimately going to plug that hole that's facing the Boston Red Sox heading into their new season. It is Sports Radio, WEEI. It's WEEI Late Night. Look, when we come back, we'll update you guys on the latest on the Celtics here, and we'll get with Kevin Winter of ESPN. He was their studio host last night for the Celtics' big-time win at Oracle at Golden State. We'll get the latest on the NBA, the Boston Celtics, and the NFL. I want to get Kevin's take because he does the NFL stuff, too, on the Patriots. What's up with Gronk? The longer this thing goes, I think it's the better. Better for Rob Gronkowski, better for his fans, better for the Patriots. It's looking more and more like he's strongly considering coming back and playing another year. And what's up with Tom Brady? Why haven't the Patriots done what they usually do? Where's his contract extension? And why haven't they offered it to him yet? And that's something that surprised me as well. We'll get Kevin Winter's take on all that and more when we come back right here on Sports Radio WEEI. It is Sports Radio WEEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. As always, the number to join us here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And we have really stayed away from a lot of the basketball conversation tonight, purposely sort of waiting until after the conclusion of the Celtics-Kings game here to see if the Celtics actually can string together two consecutive road wins. But there was a guy I wanted to talk to, and I wanted to talk to him last night because he happened to be the studio host for the Celtics game at Oracle. Long story short, nobody needs to know the inner workings of WEEI, but there was a scheduling mishap that took place here. So this guy was kind enough to reschedule and kind enough to join me tonight. His name is Kevin Winter. You guys know him around here. He's a SportsCenter studio host and SportsCenter anchor, Kevin Winter, on Sports Radio WEEI. Once upon a time, those two sort of sentences didn't jive together all that well. But
pretty good with that, Gilroy. And actually, it's funny. So I'm just doing some stuff tonight, and I kind of got caught up in the Michael Jackson Neverland. Everyone was talking about it, and I hadn't seen it because I worked over the weekend.
Yep.
So. You text me and you're like, hey, by the way, don't forget producers calling. I'm like, oh crap. hang on, I'm like, hold up. I'm like, all right, let me pause this. Let me check the score of the Celtics game. Clicking on, they're winning, and I'm sitting there going, I'm like, well, you want to know what? This is, it's an ugly game. From what, let me phrase that. It looks ugly.
Yep.
And that's exactly what I would expect. Bottom line tonight, get a W. I don't care if it's by 1 or 100. You can't lose all the goodwill from what happened last night, which was more important. Goes out the window. So just get a W tonight. We'll figure, everything else will take care of itself when you get the Staples Center trip coming up in the weekend.
Yeah, and going into this four-game road trip, this was the trap game. There's always going to be motivation to go into Golden State. And, you've got revenge on the mind when you go to Staples. Both those teams humiliated you at home not too long ago. You got Rondo hitting the jumper at the end of the game to beat the Celtics. And then, of course, the 28-point comeback for Doc and the Clippers. So there's motivation there. There's revenge there. But this is the Kings. I know that they're the new and improved Kings. I know that they're above 500, that they're technically still fighting for a playoff spot, three games out right now. But they're still the Kings, Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, they are. And I understand it's also motivation. Look, it's kind of fun and as good as they become. The Celtics still got their draft pick. So, let's make that thing as bad as we possibly can. They are the Kings. But I say it more of... And I know, and we kind of took this approach last night, and guys were busting my chops in the studio. There's no Klay Thompson. There's no Looney. Livingston doesn't even get run last night, although we don't find out until midway through the game. He doesn't play. I've seen so much of the Warriors this season. It's not even funny. They don't care about the regular season. However, you can't tell me that the Warriors don't want to get up for big games because I posted it on Facebook. We now see – what the Celtics are capable of. And I posted the box score and the kid goes, well, they lost in Orlando and they lost to Miami. I said, they didn't lose by 33. And how did they do on a, on a nationally televised game the following two nights later in Philadelphia. Golden State is still like any superstar. When you want to challenge me and you want to put me on the stage, I'm going to perform and I'm going to play well. And I knew the Warriors would at least try to bring it. Bottom line was the Celts brought more last night, and the Celts brought what we thought they had the capability of bringing. I don't care if the Warriors are playing, have everyone healthy last night. They weren't winning that game the way Boston was playing. It might only be a 10-point game or a single-digit game. It might come down to the end. Boston's going to win that game. That's how good the Celtics played last night. And Kilroy, that's the frustrating part, because you sit there all season. We're sitting here in February. Wick calls it the worst month of February since he bought the team, which, by the way, dude, I've seen some bad Februarys.
Hold on. Oh, for February, though, was, remember that? That was late 90s. That was before Wick. But that was the most painful February of my Celtics life, the year that they went over.
All right. Yeah, fine. I'm also even going post Antoine and Paul in that 0-1 run or 0-2 run against the Nets. Before Garnett and Allen show up, some of those teams were just an idiot.
Yes, they were.
all right, so, fine, which spills a hyperbole. Let's put it the bottom line, and we even did this leading into the broadcast last night before, when we do the pregame show, we send it out to the two broadcasters right off the top, half hour before tip. My producer says to me, he says, hey, can you home cook a 2.5-minute feature about what a mess this has become? I'm like, yeah, done. I'm like, I do that in my sleep. Hang on. Click, 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 click. Get them to play the audio bites. And then all of a sudden, they do that.
Yeah.
And, the bottom line of this whole thing is this coming out of the All-Star break, 5 of 6, this is either going to be a footnote to the NBA Finals or this is all going to be a huge disappointment. There's no two ways about it, and there's no middle ground. It is one of those two options.
What's interesting is when you look at the 72-hour period the Celtics went through, you had the home game against the Rockets, which is essentially, I think, the floor. That is the basement that the Boston Celtics really can play at. And then you've got their ceiling, and there hasn't been a lot of in-between this year. When you look at some of their victories this year, they've beat Philly, they've beat Milwaukee, they've beat Toronto. They've actually had 4 or 5 games this year. We've come on the air, Kevin, and we've said, okay, the Celtics, they just turn the corner. You know what I mean?
Right.
And ultimately, it's never stuck. And I don't know ultimately what's going to make last night's game any different from one of those previous big games that the Celtics have come away victorious with.
Well, you bring up, it's a good point. I think there is something to the idea of galvanizing everyone. And John Barry said it after the game last night. 17 games left to go. Forget the summer. Forget everything. We just dropped 128 and we beat Golden State by 33. It is now all for us. Put the egos aside. We can do something special, guys, and we know we can. Now the question is, do we all want to? We may win an NBA title and say goodbye at the end of the year, or we can win an NBA title and we can do it all over again. But how do we want to do this? We can either be miserable, and it's, there are times they have looked miserable. We can be miserable for the final month. Or we can have some fun, go kick some tail, and let's see how good this can be. Kyrie joked about that long plane ride. It wouldn't surprise me if that's kind of part of it, where someone says on the plane ride, guys, we have a decision to make. How do we want to do this right now? And I don't know who that person would be. Horford seems to have been the guy who kind of has taken the reins a little bit as the leader of the team.
Semi Ojeleye, Kevin.
By the way, my producer was begging for the audio. He's like, do we have that? I said, I can't find it anywhere. That's all I need to get into for that 2.5-minute piece.
That's it right there.
Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals without Kyrie and Gordon to this. Wake the fuck up. that's kind of part of it. So you've got a choice. How do we want to be remembered? And if we all say goodbye at the end of the year, great. But do we want to be miserable? And they had looked miserable. They've got all the talent in the world, but in the NBA, man, if you don't play with that talent, you guys aren't together. Mid-talent can actually break you as much as it can carry you.
So one of the reasons, Kevin, why I wanted to talk to you is because, yeah, you're from Boston. You and I can sit here for the next 2 hours and go back and forth on the Celtics.
I had Vasilo on the pregame show last night. That was even better. I'm like, dude, we used to do 4 hours of this. How much? I said, we got to condense this to 4 minutes.
Russell's a good guy, man. You know, watching what's happened with you, what's happened with Anik, what's happened with Russell, just your careers have taken off. It's amazing to me watching what everybody's done. Meanwhile, I'm the part-time overnight guy, but I'll take it. Do you know what I mean? I'm like the little brother in the corner.
That's all right. Don't worry about it.
So we can go back and forth in the Celtics for hours, but what I wanted to do was, you know, when I flip on ESPN and you're the studio host, oftentimes you're doing a game that doesn't involve the Celtics. So on a national scale, when it comes to Kyrie Irving, and really he's become this bipolar guy here in Boston, and 3 months ago if we did a show, I'm going to tell you right now, Kevin, that if we took 100 calls, 99 of them would absolutely, you know, have wanted this guy to come back and sign a long-term extension. Going into the game at Oracle last night, if we repeated that exercise and we took those 100 calls, I'm telling you right now, 70 or 80 of them would have told you, let him walk. That's how.
I think, by the way, I think it was 90.
Maybe more.
Higher than that.
Maybe more. So I've never seen a guy, and so I said this, I did a sports final with Burton the other night, and I said this to him, and I can't believe I'm saying this. I got into radio, you know this, because I'm a Celtics fan first, radio came second. I have never been in a position where the Celtics have actually had a transcendent talent on their team, a top 10 player, top 15 player, whatever, and I'm not sure that I want him to be here long term. What the hell is up with that? Why is Kyrie Irving such a divisive type of character?
All right, so it's funny. So that was kind of a lot of what I was doing to people last night, and it's, you know, it's something that ESPN does well. We try to dive into someone's head, especially if it's the NBA or the NFL. We're going to spend, you know, the company's going to spend 72 months doing it. I said this the other day. Kyrie wants to be the guy, but he doesn't want the responsibilities of being the guy. And one of the questions I asked Russell the other night, do you think Kyrie regrets being the guy? I mean, as it was, he calls LeBron and says, yo, dude, remember me acting like a punk? My bad. This is hard. So I don't know if he understood what being the guy really entails. I also think, by the way, this is a growing problem with NBA superstars. My theory is because they've been so coddled their entire lives, they've never been told no, they've never experienced adversity other than losing a game, and when that happens, they pout. Anyway, Kyrie, I don't think, is different. Kyrie better thank his lucky stars, by the way, that the Lakers are an abject disaster and LeBron is there, because if it weren't, Kyrie is getting front center stage. At least right now, he's not getting full national exposure because of the Lakers. Why is he like this? Part of it, it goes back to that AAU culture. You want to be loved. You want to be liked. You don't want to deal with adversity, and you want to be liked. Dude, not everyone's going to like you. You got to embrace. Be the heel sometimes, man. And also understand everything you say will be scrutinized. You don't control it, Bill Belichick. Control what you can control. Ignore the noise. There's a whole bunch of different things, but a lot of things that we talk about that happened at One Patriot Place, to give you an example, Gilroy, they don't transcend to an NBA superstar who was an AAU icon and who was coddled. They don't know how to handle that. At least that's my opinion.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, because these guys, have, like you said, they never heard no before. And Kyrie, people like to point to Kyrie as the veteran leader of this team. The fact is, he's in his mid-20s. You know, he's not a veteran leader. And the only time...
He's got experience. Doesn't make you a veteran leader. He's got deep playoff experience.
Absolutely.
Because of LeBron.
Absolutely. Because of LeBron James. And I don't think he realized just how much shade LeBron James was able to sort of provide for him. You know, LeBron James was a guy that he was the first guy the reporters always go to. And Kyrie took what was left over. I don't think he sort of understood what it was going to be like being front and center, being the guy at a franchise like the Celtics. So if he goes to New York, if he expects that media to calm down a little bit, he's absolutely crazy.
Well, the other thing, too, so, and by the way, I'm watching Buddy Hield, and that's kind of where that Jesus came from. So we got a tight one going to the fourth. Sorry, then, you know, enough to send your audience away. but, you know, here's another thing, too. Boston, and I remember the line from the movie Patriots Day, Rick DeLaurier, the FBI agent, he goes, I know Boston. Kyrie doesn't know Boston, but Boston's not a hard town to figure out. Get on the floor. This number one guy that Celtic fans root for is Marcus Smart, because he will hit the deck. We love that.
Mm-hmm.
Who was our favorite baseball player for a long time? It was Trot Nixon.
Trot Nixon, yep.
It was the dirt dog.
Yep.
Kyrie hit the deck. And part of this goes back to the culture. Show them you care. You show us you care. Why did we love Kevin Garnett? The passion. Yeah, all of that, everything he brought to the table.
Statistically, look at Al Horford and look at Kevin Garnett. They're eerily similar when it comes to their days in Boston. They actually have a similar impact defensively, numbers-wise as well. But one of those guys is emotional about it, and the other one is stoic about it.
One guy's a monster. One guy's a monster. The other guy looks like, sometimes a feather will knock him over.
Yep.
And it's not a knock. That's just the way they're built and the way they were brought up and how they're wired at times. And I'm watching that when the Celtics are getting their butts whipped by Houston the other night. Hit the deck one time, Kyrie. Marcus Smart hit the deck during that comeback. By the way, so, and I'm going in different directions here, but I think early in the fourth quarter, down 22 to down 10 against the Rockets, that was telling the fact that at the time, Kyrie wasn't on the floor. And that run happened with a lot of other guys. I think it was Brown, Rozier, Hayward, Tice was on the court, and there was one other, might have been Al, I can't remember. It was a different group, as Brad says he tries to figure out these groups, and it was telling that everything kind of died a little bit when Kyrie came back. Okay, maybe that's a wake-up call to Kyrie that says, you want to know what? These guys are doing something here. How do I fit in? And when the time comes, I'll be the guy. I don't need to try to do it, because one of the knocks in this team is, there are times, Gilroy, we're watching their offense, and it's like you and I playing a video game together. One guy gets the ball, he drives, he kicks out, and then he gets replaced on the drive to the hole. It's not offense. It's park ball.
Right.
And that's what sometimes happens with Kyrie. That game between Sunday without Kyrie during the run and then last night, creativity, flow, to steal a line from Herb Brooks, everything was moving. It was fluid. You were up in the face. Also helped Golden State didn't play a lick of defense. I get it. But you also took advantage of what was there for you. And that's something that they hadn't been doing. Sometimes this game's a real simple game. If it's there, take it. Just don't complicate things. I think sometimes they do.
It is Sports Radio WEEI. It's WEEI Late Night. Patrick Gilroy right now on the phone with Kevin Winter from ESPN.
Oh, he's going to talk, by the way, through the whole fourth quarter, and then you can take calls when the game's over.
So not quite, because I'm you know the clock here as well as anybody.
He hasn't stuck to a clock since Marconi invented the radio.
Hey, listen, I snuck in here about 2 years ago to fill in one night, okay, and they haven't kicked me out yet. I'm going to stick to the clock. I want real quick over to the Patriots. They win the Super Bowl, and everything's great, and now we've got the situation with Robert Kraft, and I'm not sure exactly what he's doing here. Maybe you can sort of shed some light on it for me. But
I got no experience. Oh no, wait, you weren't insinuating that. Never mind. Okay. Sorry about that. I'm only kidding.
So I wasn't insinuating anything. but from a national perspective, an ESPN perspective, maybe you can sort of tell me nationally what people are saying here, because I don't get it. Right now, he's hired his second high-priced lawyer. It looks like he's going to double down and really fight this thing. To me, he's already lost in the court of public opinion, and we know that the NFL, regardless of the outcome here, even if he does get off on a technicality, gets a not guilty, it's going to take a year, maybe 2 years of fighting this thing in court to get there. So the longer you fight it, the longer it's out there in the news cycle, and he's going to get a punishment from the NFL anyways. You don't need to be convicted of anything to get a punishment from the NFL, from Roger Goodell. So, in your opinion, you've seen Deflategate, you have seen Spygate, you have seen Bountygate, you've seen all this stuff that's happened across the league, all the guys hitting their women, Ray Rice, you name it, all the ugly stuff. Robert Kraft's in the middle of something right now that we never thought Robert Kraft would be in the middle of it.
Okay,
what's going to happen to him?
Well, what's going to happen is he'll get more games than Jim Irsay got when Irsay was absolutely pickled out of his skull on booze and pills, and had more cash than I've ever walked around with in my life. And he was also driving. Kraft is going to get more games because he's Kraft, and he's going to get the same amount of fine. Public opinion, forget, you're never going to win that, especially when you hit this. You ask what he is fighting. I think what he is fighting, I don't know this, but my gut tells me, because everything is tied to the alleged sex trafficking, and that is what the antenna is up. I think he wants to make sure, at least if I were ever caught in this situation where it were this bad, look, if I ever had to say, I only went in for the prostitution, give me the misdemeanor, I have nothing to do with this. That's a guess. I don't know. But if I were ever caught in something like that, I would be like, whoa, wait, I only won this. I wasn't part of bringing them over on a boat, for lack of a better term.
Right.
I know it's more serious than that. I think that's it. To prove and to make sure that, from also what I've read, there are some technicalities. Technically, they pulled over the car to find out it was Robert Kraft. They basically pulled the car over for no reason, and they didn't even ask the driver for his license. They asked Robert Kraft.
Yep.
You can't do that. So that didn't work out too well. I think those are the issues. I mean, we saw a guy, who was it, for the Atlanta Falcons when they got hammered by the Broncos in the Super Bowl. He won NFL Man of the Year, and then that Eugene Robinson. Eugene Robinson won NFL Man of the Year, got popped for trying to get a hooker that night, and then went out and played the Super Bowl.
He did.
But
owners and management, they're held to a higher standard as well.
I know they are. And look at what, the creepy angle is that the dude's 77, and that's where the end of my imagination wants to go. I understand all of that. Other than that, he's just one of those that, The old guy, as you get older and older, you deny until the end, especially when you've got the money.
One thing that would certainly sort of change the news cycle here around the Patriots is if they would announce some sort of extension for Tom Brady or if Gronk were to announce that he's coming back, suddenly focus.
Don't worry, hang on. Gronk's doing enough on a boat right now. He's fine.
You see those pictures? My God. He is living life, my friend.
Of course he is. I saw the pictures, and I saw the idiot try to compare it to Odell Beckham Jr., and I watched the idiot get shot down. Who was it? Le'Adrian Waddle's wife?
Oh, yeah.
She just destroyed the poor guy.
I mean, Gronk's going to be Gronk, but in all seriousness, Tom Brady said multiple times he wants to play till he's 45. He looks like he can still play for a while. Why haven't the Patriots extended him to this point? He's going into his walk year.
I think this is also one of those wink, wink, hey, we're fine. We're only going to do this when we need to. Tom, when we need to create room, let's see what the plans are. You know the Patriots. Either they go all in on day one of free agency or you don't hear from them until May. Things like that. It may be one of those. Let's see who gets swept up. Let's start talking numbers with whoever is left over. And then we call Tom and say, hey, here's our idea. Can we do this? It may be one of those type of deals. It may just be play out this one. When you come back, you come back, and we'll do it on a cap friendly deal. Yeah, they may be that together, and that kind of on that kind of run where that's where they're at. I don't know, but that's just a guess. They may just let the finances play out. And then start putting pieces to the puzzle together. And when they have to call Tom to do it, they will.
You can't imagine him making the free agent tour at this time next year, right?
Oh, dear God, no. First off, Kraft won't let him.
Yep.
Kraft will never let him walk. I also don't think Tom will ever play for another franchise.
Sure.
There was a time I thought I could see him playing in San Francisco. That with Jay, which would be so funny with Jimmy there. As we were getting older, I could kind of picture that. That would be kind of cool. But no. Brady ends here because he is another Kraft kid.
All right, last one for me, Kevin. You can choose to answer this however you see fit, or not at all. But it's the first time you and I have really had a conversation since all hell broke loose here on the morning show 5 months ago, whatever it was. So today Kirk releases.
How many glasses of wine do you think I had?
You know, I can hear it a little bit. So today, Kirk, he releases a fresh edition of Enough About Me. I'm going to tell you within 5 minutes of you answering me and saying that you could come on tonight. So the two sort of clicked in my head. And the question that I have for you is plain and simple. When everything went down, and ultimately we all learned that Kirk wasn't coming back to the show and Mutt was going to take this show over, what was your initial reaction to that?
Let's just call it a night. And don't read anything into it. It's just some questions are smarter left unanswered.
Damn it, you needed one more glass of wine, Kevin. One more glass of wine.
didn't have any tonight, Gilroy. Didn't have any.
All right, brother. I appreciate you taking some time with me and talking some hoops with me. It's always fun. It looks like the Celtics here, they're not going to make this thing easy as they wind this game down tonight.
They're not going to make it easy, but like I said, at the end of the day today, get a W, because if you get a W, then you get the chance to sweep the Staples Center. And if you do that, it also, a W tonight allows you one slip up against whether it's the Clippers or the Lakers. But a W tonight really backs up the goodwill you built, 24 hours ago.
Kev, do you have one of those two games?
We're doing... Because Lakers Celtics is Saturday primetime.
All right, there.
So that's on ABC. So, yeah, so we got that game eight o'clock Saturday night, ESPN app.
Awesome. There he goes. Kevin Winter, you guys know him from Boston. He's your ESPN anchor, your studio host, NBA guy. Kev, thanks for staying up late with me. I really appreciate it. And listen, I haven't watched part two of that Michael Jackson thing yet. I watched part one. It is, but by the end of part one, I was creeped out to the max. I actually deleted all the MJ off my kid's iPod.
You're not the only one. There's a lot of people I know who, who literally said, I can't. It's part two. Part one, they ratcheted it up real quick. They got to 10 real fast.
Yeah.
Part, let's put it this way. There's nothing else you can do after that. This is more of the storytelling of what happened after. And by the way, Michael Jackson just died, just in case we all forgot.
Yeah. All right, Kevin. I appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you again real soon. There he goes. Kevin Winter from ESPN, NBA studio host, SportsCenter anchor, and former Flash guy here. So John Mita Parrell left the station, and they needed another guy to replace John Mita Parrell. Winter had been a staple in Boston. I'm talking about a staple on every local station that we had for years. Also was doing the ESPN national stuff. So he came with quite a resume. So he got hired here to take over for John Mita Parrell. I think his tenure lasted like 6 weeks, maybe 7 weeks. And it just ended ugly. So I tried to slide in the Kirk question there. And I got absolutely nowhere. I got shut down. Shut down by Kevin Winter. It is Sports Radio, WEI, 2 hours down, 2 hours to go, and we are behind a break. So when we come back, I promise you guys, we'll get to your phone calls. I want to get into this Celtics stuff. This game is almost over. Once it comes to an end, I promise you we'll start talking some Celtics here. Until then, I do want to get into some leftover Patriots thoughts with you guys. You heard me ask Kevin, why doesn't Tom Brady have an extension yet? Gronk, I know he's having a good time right now, and if you see the pictures on Instagram, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Those are good stories. Those stories will sit well for a while. Josh Gordon has been everywhere on Instagram, on Twitter. He's wearing Patriots Super Bowl shirts. It looks very much like Josh Gordon is going to be back in the mix here next year. I want to know from you guys, have we all the sins forgiven here? Are we good with Josh Gordon coming back and being a trusted member of your New England Patriots? We'll talk about that and more when we come back right here on Late Night Sports Radio, WEI. So it is late night here, and the question I've got for you guys is, can a player be suspended indefinitely and still be considered an asset to the franchise, still be considered a reliable member of the New England Patriots? And Josh Gordon, check out his Instagram, check out his Twitter. He is absolutely ratcheting up the Patriots' love over the last 48, 72 hours, looking like he is fully committed to the New England Patriots. But can you be fully committed to a team when you are suspended from the NFL? We'll talk about that when we come back right here on Sports Radio, WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.